Welcome to the podcast for St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ.
Hey friends, welcome back to our St. Andrew's podcast. I'm so glad that you have joined us today for another episode of God's Timing. You know, things here in Oklahoma are exciting right now because we're just rolling with what is happening, but we're also using it as an opportunity for God to do something new in our hearts. And my good friend and my colleague is with me today, Pastor D.A. How are you doing?
Pastor Stephanie, I am doing good. You want to know one of the amazing things about this podcast?
Tell me.
Is I am, while people are listening to this, I'm not even here. I mean, I know they can't see it,
right?
But this is actually coming out while I'm on vacation.
That's exactly right, which lets y'all know that we record ahead of time.
Yeah, so perhaps I am in the mountains not thinking about anything at the moment.
That's such a
glad to not only have times to do these things, but to have times to refresh. So yes. While everybody's listening, I'm off having a good time with my family.
You are breathing in the mountain air. That is so cool. Speaking of air, it was very interesting a couple weeks ago. Now, for those who are listening, we had kind of basically an Oklahoma hurricane.
We did.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
It was so
broken branches,
crazy.
Knocked out the power.
Yes. I mean, we're talking 80 mile per hour winds and rain that was like falling up because it was basically so windy. And, you know, it was interesting because we were getting ready to open for the first time with on-site services in, you know, 5 months or whatever. And we had these great banners outside.
Yes.
And we were so excited to tell people with our banners. We're doing stuff through social media and all the other stuff as well. But we're like, let's get some banners. So we got some great banners and put them up the day before the Oklahoma hurricane hit. And it ripped them to shreds.
Yeah, I remember asking in staff meeting and I was told they kind of look like a weathered pirate ship flag.
They really do. It makes it look sort of rustic, but we didn't even intend for that, which was kind of sad. So anyway, weather in Oklahoma, you just never know.
Yeah, and I've thanked God for the rain.
Yes.
Even on this day we're recording, there were some rain off in the distance as I was taking my daughter to gymnastics.
Yeah, we never take that for granted.
Yeah, but I know people are not here just to hear us talk about the weather or your shoes or my fishing experiences. So let's get to it. One of the things that we've done in this series talking about God's timing is to look at stories in Scripture about when does God move and how does God move and what does God do? And we started by looking at the story of Joseph and how it was that as a boy, Joseph had a vision of God, of how God was going to use his life. But it always seemed like the vision was going to get derailed because he was sold into human trafficking as a slave. And then he was falsely imprisoned for a crime he did not commit.
Yeah.
But he was always faithful to God. He never lost his hope in God. And when we're faithful and God has given us that vision, and God brings it to fruition.
Yeah.
But a lot of people also don't get a vision from God.
Mm-hmm.
And so we looked at the story of Esther and how it was that she had a hard beginning, an orphaned slave girl living in exile.
Yeah.
She was taken in by her uncle. She rises to the position of being queen because God was preparing her for how God was going to use her.
Mm-hmm.
She never had this big vision, oh, I will be queen and this is what I will do.
Right.
It was just God's timing to reveal the vision to her later in life, and she was prepared for that. So today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how it is we can wake up to God's vision.
Mm.
In the current situation of this health crisis, we have seen a lot of churches having to scramble. Probably all churches had to scramble, but some churches were better prepared than others. Kind of like we talked about last time that luck favors the prepared.
It does.
We were prepared and we felt not necessarily lucky, but blessed in that.
Right.
And the guy that I'm always reading his stuff, Kerry Newhoff, suggested in an article I read recently that on the other side of this pandemic, there are some churches that aren't going to make it. He said some churches will make it and some churches won't make it.
Yeah.
And a key part of my understanding of what he was writing and what we shared in the sermon on this mm-hmm. was there has to be some cultural awareness.
Yeah.
And so what I had thought we would do today is we would talk about some of these things that we were already prepared for, mm-hmm. maybe some of the things that we've learned in the midst of this, because as we've said all along, God is doing a new thing, and we've got to wake up and we've got to figure out what this new thing God is doing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and one of the things I think about, you know, in church life, because you and I have been in church a long time.
Yeah, me much longer than you.
When you put the years together, it's definitely a long, long time. And, you know, I've dealt with a lot of people in churches who are always excited about something new. I've also dealt with people in churches who are never excited about something new because they think we need to do things the way we've always done them, which is really interesting because when you think about the spread of the gospel originally, you know, mm-hmm. you think about somebody like Paul, the Apostle Paul, and how he chose to spread the gospel. I mean, he did things that were appropriate for the culture at the time. You know, he wrote letters to people because that's how you got the word out. That's why we still have the scripture today. If he would have said, well, no, I'm not going to write down this stuff because that's, you know, too new. That's too new in the culture. I'm going to only speak it.
We should only have FaceTime where we speak face-to-face
with
people.
Right, exactly. It's one of those things where it's like, well, no, he did what worked for the culture to spread the gospel, and it lasted. And the same thing is true of us in the church today, is that using the things of the culture to spread the gospel is not a bad thing.
No.
You know, using online streaming, using Facebook, social media, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever we're going to use to spread the gospel is not a bad thing. We need to use it to spread.
Right. And we don't have to sacrifice anything that people find sacred to be able to do that. But mm-hmm. there are changes. And let's start. Let's talk about online worship. Mm-hmm. When we started our online worship, at first, all we were doing was we brought somebody in to record the sermons, and then we thought, man, we're spending a lot of money for what we're getting, and so we actually found somebody else to do it that was more affordable for us. But it's like, you know, we would have worship on Sunday, and maybe on Monday or Tuesday, people could start watching the sermon to get a sense of our church. And finally, we said, you know what? We need to have our own equipment. We have people that can do this, and we need to start live streaming. And again, if you're listening to this and you don't know what live streaming is, you must be in my neighborhood or of my generation, because it took me a long time to figure it out. But it just means it's a live event. When we're worshiping, people can get on their computer or mm-hmm. their tablet, anything that's got internet access, and they can be with us live for worship. Yeah. And this is an important thing. So, Stephanie, why don't you just talk about some of the reasons that, mm-hmm. that this is important for us, and we hopefully can help people understand why this is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it's interesting to me that we really like to have things at our fingertips, mm-hmm. literally. Mm-hmm. So now we have worship at our fingertips, whether you're holding your phone or your laptop or your remote control, you've got worship at your fingertips. And the great thing about this is that we can get a lot of content in not a lot of time. Because, you know, I can get online and I can listen to people in all over the world and I don't have to travel there to do it. But, you know, for the church itself, the benefit for the church itself is that now this has become the front door of the church.
And that was really the kind of the founding thing mm-hmm. of our vision. Where when St. Andrew started, we were a young church in a rapid growth mm-hmm. population, and people knew each other, and so we were the exciting new thing.
Yeah.
And then I came, and we were no longer exciting and new.
Oh, no.
And I'm not being self-deprecating. I'm just saying that within the first 5 years I was here, we had at least five churches in a 2 mile radius that started. Now, at this point, we're the bigger church.
Right.
We've got more going on, but we're not the young,
new church. Yeah.
And so at first, people weren't afraid mm-hmm. to come in, and we kind of lived on that mm-hmm. for a while. It's like, you know, people are inviting their friends, we're growing, we've got the reputation.
Yeah.
But then we're 15 years old, and there are other churches
that are newer.
2 years old,
and
there's a big difference.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because in that day and age, in the 90s, you know, you could literally open the front door of your church and people would come into it.
We were right on that threshold of generations that would still do that versus generations that weren't going
to
do that.
Exactly. And really in this day and age, people want to know what they're walking into. So you're not going to just walk into the front door of a building you've never been to before, even if you have a friend that's there.
Right.
I mean, it's more likely to if your friends are there, but even then it's not as likely until you have seen with your eyes what you're walking into, which is what online streaming gives a person.
Exactly.
It gives them that comfort, that familiarity, without ever having to set foot into the front door of the church yet.
Right. And so it is the new front door for a guest. Mm-hmm. And because they probably have a friend that comes here, mm-hmm. when they come, they have somebody to sit with.
Exactly.
They already know, this is someone I can sit with. Another thing that I think is real important that helped us is every Sunday when we have worship and we're going through the different groups of people that we pray for, one of the groups that's very dear to us are the people who are members here, but they just physically are no mm-hmm. longer able to attend worship because they're what we would consider to be shut in.
Mm-hmm.
And so our shut-ins now, if they just have access to a tablet or something, should they choose to do it, they can join us for worship. They can say the creed, they can sing the songs, they can be a part of that. And so if people have the idea, oh, this just helps us get new people, that's not the only, it's not just new people, it's not just people that can't come, it's also people who are already here.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Because a lot of our folks, just like I'm sure whoever you're listening from, wherever you are right now, you know, people like to travel. I mean, before the pandemic, lots of people like to travel.
Yeah.
Now, not so much. But it does make it possible for if somebody who is a regular attender can, if they're sick, if they're traveling, they can still get on and watch. And the great thing about online streaming is that not only can it be live, but it's saved for later. So you can get on anytime you want to and watch it, which I think is great.
Right. We've had families that, you know, they're traveling. They say, hey, we're going to go to the lake every weekend. That's what our family likes to do.
Mm-hmm.
But on the trip home, we can always listen to worship again. And I've got a good friend that I used to coach baseball with.
Mm-hmm.
And his job took him out of state for a while. The work he does, he's a trim, finished carpenter.
Oh, yeah.
And he didn't have work here in Oklahoma. So he had gone up north, I want to say, to Michigan or somewhere like that, and was working with a cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me one day and he said, I just want you to know, while I've been gone, you've been my pastor.
I love that.
St. Andrews has been my church. And I'm like, well, great. Now that you're home, you know,
come on.
We'd love to have you and your family here. And of course, they don't. They go to a different church.
Yeah.
But it made me wonder, does the church he goes to not offer that?
Right, exactly.
And so it helped him to stay connected in his relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, one of the things we know now is, you know, because we had this already when the pandemic hit and it was not really smart nor safe for us to gather for on-site worship.
Yeah.
We already had things in place. You know, it's like God was doing this new thing and we were just taking baby steps. In fact, I was telling people all the time, this is new to us, but we're behind the curve.
Yeah.
But when the pandemic started, we didn't have to scramble to tell people, hey, here's when here's what we're going to do and here's how you can join us and here's the channels you can join us on. And I would even say that when weather is threatening. You know, we had those times when it's snow and ice. You got to preach during the great monsoon and hurricane that one June where everything flooded.
That's right.
We are able to continue to have worship without people really feeling like they have to be at risk.
Well, and I think that I love all of these things about this. And I'm thinking about our listeners who are thinking, okay, well, what does this mean for me or what can I do to help? And, you know, the great thing about social media is that most platforms have a way for individuals to share things with other people. And that's really where viewership goes skyrockets, is that the more people that share, the more people we reach. So if you're listening thinking, you know, I love online, I watch, I'm there, I'm with you, but what can I do to help? That's a way you can evangelize, because you're getting the word out and all you gotta do is click a button.
we obviously, because we're involved in leading the service, don't get to see what is on there. I always go back and look on Facebook because I want to see the comments.
I love that.
That people leave. Yeah. And it's just so wonderful to do that. Mm-hmm. After the first Sunday that we had started doing the live streaming, there's a family that they would tell you St. Andrew's is our home church. They live about an hour away. Yeah. And I remember he was at church like the next Sunday, and he said, "This is what we've been waiting for. Thank you so much. Now, when are you going to disciple me?"
Right.
And for us, we see worship as a gathering of the community of faith, right, so we can turn our thoughts to singing the praise of God and hearing again God's word. But we know that that's not enough just to give us a healthy spiritual diet.
Yeah.
And so my answer to him that day was, let us kind of get this one figured out, and we'll figure the other one out too. And as we've said many times, one of the tools that we think for what I would call digital discipleship is this very podcast. And I would love for you to share the story of how we started this and why we started this.
That's right. So funny thing. I never listened to podcasts. I never did. Never even really completely understood the concept, and had some good girlfriends who would Facebook me, and they would be talking about, you know, these podcasts they were listening to, young moms, and they were figuring out how to be the best young mom they could be and how to be a Christian better, and, you know, all these things that podcasts can allow you to do. And so I was praying one day just about how to disciple our community, and I came up with the idea through that prayer time of why can't we have a podcast? You know, what does that look like? And so came to DA and said, let's have a podcast.
And I had a very holy anointed response.
You did.
I'm sure it was a quizzical look where I just said, why do we need to do a podcast?
That's exactly right. And I said, well, my young mom friends are listening to podcasts. And I think that was kind of when
That's all I needed to hear.
You were in. And the great thing about it is it's a great way for us to push some content to help you know who Jesus is and how much he loves you. And it's an easy way to do it. It's an easy way for people to connect.
And our thought when we started was, let's do this about 20 minutes. Now, those of you that listen faithfully, we know we're a little more long-winded than we used to be. But we thought this would be something people could listen to on their commute to work or their commute home for work. As right after we started this and we felt like we had the right target, I was reading my good man, Kerry Newhoff, and he was saying, if you're doing a podcast, the number one demographic for podcasts are single men 25 years and younger, which blew me away.
Right, it's pretty crazy.
But he said, and they want it to be an hour long because they listen to it while they exercise.
Right.
And so we're only giving them a 30-minute workout unless they listen every other week, in which they get a full hour.
Right. We're not for the advanced workout folks.
But it's not just the podcast. There are other things. You have led some online Bible studies, which I remember when you came to me with that idea, I thought it was a great idea. I had absolutely no idea how it was going to work.
You know, it's cool to see that evolve because the first one that we did was more of a recorded version, and people picked up a pamphlet that they could have with them for the duration of that time. And that was really cool. But then during the pandemic, we tried a Facebook Live Bible study so people could interact. And that was really fun. We did that out by the pool and had my daughter involved. And I mean, it was just a great experience. It's just fun to connect with people.
And it's really amazing, again, to go on there and look and just see who all the people are that are connecting with that and, you know, trust your spiritual depth and leadership to help them grow as people of faith. And, of course, when the pandemic hit, again, it's like, we can't have Sunday school.
No.
We can't do this. And one of the best staff meetings we ever had was we sat around and we said, what is everybody going to do to stay connected? You know, Susan, what are you going to do with children? Michael, what are you going to do with youth? Mm-hmm. And, you know, Stephanie's going to do the video devotion on Monday, and I'm going to do it on Tuesday, and you do it again on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And Shane said, hey, we'll have the music team do some stuff. And then after a while, we're like, wow, we're really saturating this. Let's shrink it down. We don't need to preach 10-minute sermons when we do this.
Yeah.
3 minutes is
it's
a
good
length. But again, that initial thought, hey, we love online worship. What can you do to help us grow as disciples?
Right.
And so that's a part of what we're doing. And, and we're continuing to learn about this. That's why we always value the feedback.
Yes.
Again, this series, one of the reasons we're doing is someone said it's really helpful when you do stuff based on the sermons you've done. And so we're grateful for that. So one of the phrases that I have begun to use, and in some circles I can say this and people know exactly what I'm talking about, and in other circles I say this and people say, you've got to explain what you mean.
Right.
And that is, we talk about what is called church on demand. So we've kind of alluded to that. Do you want to comment on that?
Well, sure, absolutely. It's kind of like what we were talking about earlier, where we really do expect things to be at our fingertips. And, you know, even in this day and age, we're almost having physicians on demand. We're having reading on demand. We're having news on demand. We basically have everything we want.
Right, and it all kind of started with TV stations knowing people want to watch the show on their time, not necessarily when we show it.
Exactly. I mean, you think about Netflix, Pure Flix,
Amazon
Hulu, Prime Video. Yeah. I mean, all these things that we get to determine what works for us. And, you know, you've talked a lot about the consumeristic society versus being producers and those types of things. But again, it's a way for us to tap into what's going on in the culture, because if we completely ignore the venues that people receive things through, then it's not very good on our part. We're not being very good stewards of the great message that we have to proclaim. So we have to look at that. And so with Church on Demand, it's saying, how do we make this available to people at their fingertips, so that if they're only going to listen on their own time, then we need to make it available to them on their own time.
Right. Especially, I'm willing to come to your house. I'm willing to walk through your front door.
Right.
This is when I'll show up.
Right.
Oh, you're not there when I get off work at 11 o'clock on Friday night.
Right.
But if your service is always on there, it's on demand. This is when I demand to watch it. My weekend starts at 11 o'clock Friday night, however that works.
Yeah.
And the great thing about this is, again, this is a necessary thing we have to do, but we're not sacrificing anything old.
Right.
We're not saying to people, here's what we want to do. I remember right after we started our online worship, and I was saying, gosh, how do we transition people from being online to on-site?
Yeah.
And somebody on staff said, do we need to do that? Mm-hmm. And I was like, what do you mean do we need to? I mean, I was so caught off guard by it, but I understood where that person was coming from, that we're trying to connect people with the gospel first and foremost.
Yeah.
Our mission, making disciples. Yep. That's what we're trying to get people to do.
Right.
And yet there's a whole another component, and we're not examining it in this podcast, is the gathering of community and the importance of that. And so the pandemic is really saying, you've got your online community, you've got your on-site community, and sometimes those intersect.
Right.
But again, a lot of what we're doing is because we understand if people are hungry for God, I think this is so vital. If people are hungry for God, we as a church are not always going to meet their need if we do business as usual, because, and I've said this in sermons before, the reality is those of us that are faithful Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and being on site and coming to worship, we're really glad there are other people that can't come, because when we get out of church, we want to go to the restaurant or we want to go to the store.
We're thankful they're working.
And there's got to be people there to work that.
Right.
And so we have to have new venues and new avenues for how we connect with people who have to work but are hungry for God.
Yeah.
And we as a church don't want to be the church that says, oh, well, you know, the church down the street, you know, you can probably do that.
No.
we are specifically positioned to meet people as our church that other churches can't. And of course those churches reach people that we can't.
Yeah.
So we're living in the midst of this wonderful, exciting, frightening, confusing cultural shift because of this pandemic. And and God was always doing a new thing before this even started. So what does this mean to St. Andrew? what is some vision that we have moving forward? I think that's some things that people would be interesting in hearing. I know one of the places that it's really challenged a mission of our church is with Blessed Beginnings Preschool and St. Andrew's Christian School. We've been in conversations with the leadership of that. Why don't you just kind of say how this whole pandemic has affected that?
Well, sure. You know, I've been so impressed with our leadership of the school because, you know, our director, Heather Ward, we've got an assistant director, Deanna Beveridge, and her whole team, they really took it upon themselves to continue discipling and educating these young children that we have the benefit of being around, even in the midst of the pandemic. They were so creative about how to get really in the homes without being in the homes
because
the kids couldn't be there. So that was really fantastic. But as we look forward, we know that school is changing. And so we're in conversation with them about how does this look different for what you do and what you offer. And again, they've got great ideas. We're excited about pairing up with them with our good ideas. And it's going to be exciting to see what the future holds.
You know, again, one of the things I think of that I think the teachers will relish is we're not trying to do away with on-site because we know some families use the preschool as their childcare while mom and dad work or while dad works and mom gets a little bit of a break or mom works and dad gets a little bit of a break.
Right.
But now one of the things that you think of is teachers work so hard to detail out and do their lesson plans. And then we have a snow day.
Right.
And oftentimes it's not a snow day. It's like a snow week.
Right.
And it disrupts everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now it doesn't have to because they can say, look, kids, we know you're shutting at home.
Right.
Here's what we're going to do today. And, and we didn't just do that with the lessons. We did that with the chapel services.
Yes.
Such beautiful, beautiful pictures people posted of their little preschool child, hands folded, head bowed, sang the Lord's Prayer with us.
Right in front of their
chapel.
Computer.
It was wow.
It was
blown away.
Great.
One of the other things that we're doing, and this is not a secret. We haven't really talked about it, but perhaps our listeners will get in on the word that our non-listeners don't.
Exactly.
One of the things that we began to think about our church is looking at the fact that our church really, like most churches, are saying, how are we reaching this younger generation? How are we getting this post-college generation, these young adults, 20-somethings, mm-hmm. maybe even going into 30-somethings? How can we connect with those? And I have the conviction that people are attracted to people their age.
Mm-hmm.
When you came on staff here, one of the things we said is, there will be people attracted to our church mm-hmm. because we have this young woman up there leading mm-hmm. who's a mother and mm-hmm. a wife and knows and they can connect with you because they know you connect with their struggles. But you and I aren't in our 20s anymore.
No, we're not.
And so we started thinking, how can we do this? And so one of the things that our staff parish relations committee did was I went to them and said, what do y'all think about this? And you and I actually had a person in mind mm-hmm. for who could come on staff. That didn't work out mm-mm. for us, but fortunately, the vision we had about a young adult minister worked out.
It caught.
And so we've interviewed people, and so far the right person hasn't come along.
Mm-hmm.
But we're really hoping to have a young person who will come on staff and will be able to help us connect with young adults because there's some other things that we've discussed that we would love to be able to do because we know this whole 20-something generation, it's a different generation than your generation, than my generation, than the generations, you know, older than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And yet when we talked about it and the administrative council approved it, they were like, we want our church to be a church that reaches our people.
Right.
I remember our ad co-chair said, my daughter is a freshman in college, and I want her to be connected in this church. And she really is because her family is.
Yeah.
But he understood this is something that is personal to me.
Right.
I will probably never really have a relationship with this person.
Yeah.
But somebody I love very much
will. Yeah.
And they can help grow as a disciple. Mm-hmm. So as we continue to think of what's going on culturally around us, I just really think God is waking us up.
Yeah.
And I'm older. I sleep probably a little sounder. So he has to shake me a little harder sometimes to wake me up. So do you have any closing thoughts for us today?
Well, I would just say for our listeners, thank you for taking the time to be discipled through this venue that we've offered.
Yes,
we're just
really
glad that you listen. And if you would do something for me, I would greatly appreciate it. And that is to be praying for us as we move forward into the future, that we would know and understand and hear God's voice and where he is guiding us. Because one of the things that DA and I said to each other several months ago when the pandemic first began was, okay, God's doing something new and we want to make sure that we're going with him,
right?
That we are not trying to forge our own new avenues and making God go with us, because that's not how it works. So just that you would pray for us and the leadership of our church, and that as you are a leader in our church, that you would be praying for how God would be using you.
Right. And a key part of that is when God's moving and God's people discern, yes, this is what God is doing. I love how it says in the scriptures, they did what they believed was good to them and to the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And that's what we're looking for.
Exactly.
Friends, thank you so much for tuning in today. As always, we are humbled that we might have some offering that would help you in your relationship with Christ. We believe that nothing is more important than knowing Jesus and being mm-hmm. committed, not just to having him as the Savior of our sins, but having him as the Lord of our life. And so we hope that is true for you today. As you're able, as you feel safe, we always would love to see you on site. Right now, we're just committed to one service at 10:30 on Sundays, and we do require a mask for that. So people can be safe. And if you don't feel safe with that, then please know you are certainly welcome to continue to join us online. I hope wherever you are, wherever you're involved today, that you have a blessed day and that you come into a great awareness of God's presence. Hey friends, D.A. Bennett, St. Andrews Community United Methodist Church. I want you to know that we are discovering some real blessing and benefit of digital discipleship, but we also want to talk to you about subscribing to our YouTube channel. Again, it's under the church's name, and you'll get some different video devotions each day. So if you're looking for another venue, maybe that'll work for you. God bless.